This podcast contains explicit language.
Hello, listeners. This is Carlos, and you are listening to episode 19 of Two Fat Guys Talk Games, Snippets and Doodads. This episode consists of various snippets and doodads from various outside of podcast recordings, like one time when we were driving around, and from a couple episodes that were never released. Hope you enjoy.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, I did get your ass sweat comment.
You did get my ass sweat comment when we first started recording. And now the whole world knows I have a sweaty ass, Dave.
Oh well, I am not sorry.
It's okay, I wouldn't be sorry either. Fucking drumage. Horse dancing. You know what? That would be just the right sport for Canada to win a gold medal in. Oh, we finally won a gold. In what? Dramage. Oh, that sounds pretty noble. It's horse dancing. And then shoot yourself in the brain. I tell you, fighting games need to be an Olympic sport. There are enough countries with scenes and great players. Let's recognize this sport for the greatness that it is. Except the only problem is it would be Street Fighter 4 and Street Fighter Cross Tekken.
And the second it would become an Olympic sport, there would be people that would be there just to drop the game so other people could win. And
you mean like the whole badminton controversy?
Badminton thing, that's what I was trying to reference, yes.
Did you see Serlin's blog post on that?
No, I didn't.
Basically, he said, it's fucking stupid that the rules of the game put you in a situation where losing is better than winning, and if it does that, you can't blame players for wanting to lose.
Yeah.
I'm totally okay with it. If in order to come out on top, you need to lose, if you need to lose the battle to win the war, I think, fuck the crowd, fuck the whole spirit of competition, fuck it, do it. Just lose, drop that game, and win the war. That is spirit of competition. The real problem is round-robin formats, especially since they create situations where, and this is a problem I have with soccer too, because soccer competitions use this, they create situations where, before the elimination round, you might be in games where you have no chance of advancing. And I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like, what was it in the Euro Cup? Ireland, was it? They were in a situation where they could not advance. However, their performance would determine what other teams advanced. And what? Soccer enthusiasts say it's part of the game. I have a different word for it. Cock.
That's retarded.
It is retarded. I think everything should be double elimination.
Okay.
Yeah, like, set up a bracket, and then there's a loser's bracket, and
once
you get bumped to the loser's bracket, and it eventually goes all the way to the top, right? And eventually, the person who hasn't lost twice is the guy who ends up winning.
Yeah?
Fighting games do it, which makes them more worthy as Olympic sports than badminton. Also, badminton.
Okay.
Oh.
What's your argument there?
My argument is shuttlecock.
Badminton is a sport.
I know. I was trying to imply that if badminton's a sport, then we should just blow up this planet right now. But it is a sport. I cannot deny this.
And actually, it was a sport that I liked a lot.
I know.
I used to go solo against doubles and win.
What the hell am I shitting on badminton for? I liked it too. What am I being a dick for?
Because you are a dick?
I am a dick. This is true. I have and am a dick. It cannot be helped. Sweaty balls. So you didn't say anything incriminating, even though I have been recording for the last 5 minutes.
And that's good.
This is Carlos.
And this is Dave.
Two Fat Guys Talk Games. And
Sometimes.
And us. Say hello.
Yes. No friends this time. Just the two of us.
No friends. We have no friends today. Actually, a bunch of them went to the various cons and whatnot that took place in the States. Richie dressed up as Magneto. He made his own paper mache Magneto mask.
Cool.
Yeah. I forget what Kiki and other friends dressed up as, but I'm sure it was nerdy.
Aren't they always?
Indeed.
Speaking of con-like things, I mean, I'll be at Fragapalooza next week.
A note to our one listener. By next week, Dave meant like last week or something. This was recorded before that. Enjoy.
Do they have fighting games at Fragapalooza?
Yeah.
Do they have?
I've seen them have different groups playing fighting games. I mean, ultimately, if you're playing it and somebody else is online playing it as well, you'll usually see them. It's a giant geek LAN party.
So what you're saying is I should come with you.
You haven't bought into it, so you can't bring a system or anything else.
Oh, God damn it. Screw this event.
Yeah, you got to bring your own system, your own monitor, and you sit there and you play games and share files. Usually old games that don't exist anymore, so everybody can play. And yeah, just you have a good old time.
You mean legally trade files for which you have licenses to trade and own and whatnot?
Of course.
Of course, that's what we always mean.
The game you have in that 3.5 floppy back at your home that you forgot to bring.
Yeah, that's right. 1.44 megs, enough storage for today's applications.
not even large enough for most pictures nowadays.
Indeed.
Testing.
Fuck. Whatever. Combat in Twilight Princess, it meant nothing. Because you could just have your hand right on your leg, bouncing your fucking hand up and down, and you won that battle.
I feel the same way about all the 3D Zeldas, though.
But that... Like, I'm going to call you on it.
In a bunch of the 3D Zeldas, yeah, you can thrust, you can do a wide slash, you can do a 360-degree slash, and you don't need any of them.
Okay.
You just need to thrust over and over.
Whoa.
Unless the enemy you're fighting needs one specific type of slash to kill.
Okay, I'm going to call you on this one. Because... Wind Waker.
Skyward Sword. Why do I know this? You have the damn game.
Yes. Skyward Sword. If you're doing that, you are dead. It doesn't matter what enemy. Because the enemy will actually block your shit. It's like, oh, thrust, haha, stab, you're dead.
So they band-aided the problem by making enemies block it sometime. Okay, maybe that's that's not a band.
That's not fair. If I do a slash from one side, and I go do a slash from that side again, the enemy's already, okay, you're a fucking dumbass. Block, stab. There's one of your hearts gone.
Okay,
that's the whole reason that I defend the controls for Skyward Sword.
You could do that on buttons.
Okay.
Now, hang on, if you're talking about the fact that it does this and is less brainless, okay, I buy that, I accept that. If you're saying this is a reason it can't be done on a controller, no, sorry. You can do that on a controller.
You can do it on a controller a la the classic controller with the analog, sure. I still argue I don't think it would be as good. I've seen games done where you control your fucking sword with your right or left analog.
No, I'm
and
not
it's always been it a massive clusterfuck.
It doesn't need to be real-time analogs to control.
Are you going to do that with just a single button?
The directional stick. The way it worked in every other 3D Zelda. You thrust by holding forward. You do slashes to the side by holding either side.
I don't think it'd be...
You do jumping slash with a different button. This is all possible. However, okay, so they made enemies block your shit. Okay, I'm fine with that. But there's also this... It doesn't have to be 2D, but there's so much in that game that's just done for the sake of cinema. And I don't want cinema. I want solid gameplay. You ever played Zelda 2 FPS?
I don't like it.
I do.
I don't.
I think it's better than most 3D Zeldas.
No.
Because I hit my attack button, attack, and it has all... That attack has properties, and it has a place to be used and not to be used. And it's not about me putting myself in the right place to cinematically kill enemies. It's about me actually needing to place myself to kill enemies.
I played it. At first I thought it was cool, but truthfully, it's more of a, you know, something, this is okay, but it needs to be done better. It really does.
I wouldn't put it in Nintendo's hands.
Well, I wouldn't put a lot in Nintendo's hands.
What have you been playing?
I haven't been playing too much. Ultimately, I've been spending most of my time watching old TV shows and playing The Secret World. New kid in the block of the MMOs, no levels, and completely open that way. So I've been having a lot of fun with that. Very heavily based in story. So somebody who's playing the game like, say, WoW, where they just go grab quest and go, probably isn't going to have too much fun. You actually don't feel like you want to skip the stuff. There's a lot of voice acting, a lot of cutscenes for the beginning of quests. So I've been really enjoying what they've been selling me.
That's cool. When Richie was a house guest here with us here, with us, meaning where I live, he brought over the beta of it on his external hard drive and was showing me basically how it worked. And I like the idea of limited skills, no levels, but you level up, quote unquote, just to get new skills. And it seems very cool, and both you and he convinced me to buy a copy, which I'm looking at right now, and will likely get around to installing this upcoming Canadian long weekend.
Carlos here again. I did install it. I didn't actually start playing it yet. I'm sorry, all 1.2 listeners. And that long weekend was weeks ago. Back to the show.
Sounds good. I know you'll enjoy it. I suggest just hiding the experience bar because it really does not matter in the least.
The experience bar shouldn't be taking up 50% of the screen.
This isn't a Blizzard game. We're not playing StarCraft where the HUD takes up half your screen.
I'm okay with a half-screen HUD if it's sexy and tells me everything
I'm not.
To know.
I'm really not. I thought that should have been relegated to a quarter of the screen tops and still be able to hide it.
Hey, do you remember in Rise of the Triad, if you made your screen size the smallest, it would say, get a 486?
I remember a lot of things about Rise of the Triad. I'm guessing you heard that it's being re-released.
Oh my god! No? Fill me in.
Was it Rise of the Triad? Yeah, Rise of the Triad. Being released by Apogee and another company in high definition.
Oh my god.
Obviously, they're going to have to change up some of the level design and everything else, but it's coming.
I am going to abuse the shit out of dog mode. Dog mode was so ridiculous. The god mode power-up that turns you into a puppy.
Yeah, and I'll feel just fine kicking you in the head. Just like life.
We'll be able to play some multiplayer in that shit. That game was a lot of fun, just because it was so ridiculous. It's like,
yes.
Handgun, drunk missile launcher, dog mode, the enemy was a giant head, and he was laying weird flesh eggs. That game was fucked. It was fucked, but it was fun.
But it was announced at QuakeCon down in the States.
Wow, I gotta pay attention to QuakeCon.
Not really. I mean, that was the biggest thing that came out of QuakeCon this year. And let's face it, the fact that they already have a trailer out and they're going to re-release it is actually kind of cool. The fact that they're once again selling me my childhood, I will accept.
Is this for Xbox Live? Am I assuming that correctly? Or is this for Steam or PSN?
I believe Steam.
I'm okay with a Steam re-release. I'm okay with that. I'll play.
A lot of developers are getting away from releasing games on Xbox Live or on PSN.
I'm not sure I blame them either.
I mean, ultimately, and just for people that are listening to this, I mean, we do actually have had a number of different topics we could talk about, but this seems like a really good one to bring up at this time. The fact that Microsoft and Sony are charging so much for release on their systems, the exclusiveness of it, as well as for patching. Myself, I think this is fucking ridiculous.
I want to thank you for asking me what I've been playing, first of all.
We aren't there yet.
What do you mean we aren't there yet? We're getting to
what
a main topic.
Playing?
Sorry?
What have you been playing recently?
I haven't been playing a hell of a lot. I've been brushing up my screenwriting contest entries, so nothing really, but I hope to remedy that soon. All right. Continue.
It doesn't matter.
It didn't matter. I was being a dick. Someone on Serlin's forum brought up the point that he thinks putting a charge on a patch could dissuade developers from releasing unfinished games only to patch them later. That a problem that plagued PC gaming quite a bit in the 80s and 90s. Especially the 90s.
I will give him credit for it because that is true. However, in today's day and age, that's not as big of a problem. And the amount that it's costing for a patch, especially for the indie games, the Xbox Live Arcade games, and for the PSN1 equivalents, it's too much. They're bending them over a barrel and not just fucking them, but fucking them without lube.
Yeah, like, the issue is that 40 grand per patch for Xbox, and I'm not sure how much Sony charges for theirs.
It's around the same.
It's lunacy, especially if you're a small developer, you got your game out there, it's making you a bit of a profit, but there's a critical problem, now you need to fix it. Now you need to fix it, and now you were $40,000 in to submit this. Whereas Steam will just let you do it. And even, like, I believe Apple's App Store will let you do it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous to, I mean, they say they have to go through a quality assurance system. They have to go through a whole bunch of things, but $40,000 worth? How many illusionary people are they putting on making sure that this patch isn't going to break something? And for that matter, why does Microsoft care ultimately if a developer's game breaks?
I think the big problem here is we, the consumer, are the people that need to keep developers in check to not release unfinished games only to patch later, which is different from releasing a complete base that they're going to add to later. No, I'm talking about, like, that one infamous PC game where it was like a capital ship simulator and it released totally buggy and unfinished.
Oh,
and then the developer wanted to charge for the patch. Do you know this game I'm talking about?
I do remember the game you're talking about, and that developer was known for releasing games that were only 80% done and then patching in later. I mean, ultimately, that developer wasn't... I don't think that developer was quite as evil as, say, Bethesda trying to charge for horse armor. It's on the same level.
Well, see, here's the thing about horse
armor. Well, actually, no, I'm wrong on that, because we're talking an additional piece of horse armor charging money for versus fixing a game that you released broken.
It's in Skullgirls, it was released with plans to have DLC characters later, but the product that was put out there was, to the best of Reverge Labs and Mike Z's knowledge, a complete product.
Yes.
Like, there's a patch coming up to fix a few things, but it's nothing critical or game-breaking, right? They did not knowingly release an incomplete game.
True.
And I think we, the consumer, need to keep developers honest. And we need to do more than just not buy the games. Although the internet makes it easy to do exactly that, I think we also have to, if we buy these duds, demand the developers, like compensate, write letters, get out there, stop the laziness.
I mean, the most recent one that I could use as an example is Fez for the 360. They released their first patch to fix a bunch of stuff, and in the end it did fix all those things, but for a small amount of players, like I think they said less than 1%, it corrupted their save file the first time. If they made a new game, it wouldn't do that again. But it still sucks. So they pulled back the patch. Now, they've come out and said they can't pay Microsoft tens of thousands, so 40,000 like everything else, to recertify a new patch to fix the save file delete bug. So they've said, sorry guys, but Microsoft is willing to release that first patch, not charging them, but a certain amount of people are going to lose their save file. We're sorry. I don't blame the developer. And Microsoft's come back and said, oh, well, we tried to work with them. But I'm sorry, once you're charging even $10,000, this is an indie studio. They probably can't afford it.
There's a little piece of me that really hopes the Ouya is not a scam and basically is the console equivalent of what we're hoping for here, especially the ease of patching without needing to charge these poor little developers $40,000. And I mean, there are some people who'll say, well, didn't Fez make way more than $40,000? And that's not the point. The point is $40,000 to update a game. And here's the thing about game design and gaming and whatnot. You're not going to get it right the first time. And we know this now. And it's not like old games got it right the first time either. Doom was patched. I'm pretty sure if Capcom could have patched Mega Man 2 way back when, they probably would have.
Capcom. Okay. I doubt that one, but please proceed.
But it would have been nice. And if that game was released today and had problems, I would expect a patch. I really would. And I don't think that's a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to be able to post-release update something to iron out features that didn't work out or to add new ones. Mm-hmm. And I think it is ass backwards to put this crazy charge. Like, this crazy charge is a barrier towards putting that out. And it's ultimately going to fail. because Steam keeps gaining popularity, especially since it's easy to build a gaming PC to take advantage of Steam. And Steam is going to find its way on more platforms. And eventually, devs are going to have to change. But it sucks that that's still the future and not right now.
Yeah, unfortunately. Granted, Xbox and PSN are a bastion of patching compared to, say, the Wii.
Yes.
You were saying that they'd patch Final Fantasy 2 if they could. I'm pretty sure if something broke in Final Fantasy 9 or 10 on the Wii, it never would have been fixed.
There's Final Fantasy 9 and 10 on the Wii?
Sorry, not Final Fantasy, Mega Man.
Oh. Well, they might be able to. It was a small game. To be fair, there was that one Zelda bug that Nintendo eventually released a Zelda bug fix channel to let you continue your save. So, I mean, it seems they will come out of their shells to fix a critical problem sometimes, but not enough to just put some damn hard drive space on the thing or let you connect an external one so we can patch tripping out of Brawl.
Testing, testing.
Testing.
Excellent. So, we have had some viewer mail or listener mail.
Fan mail!
Fan mail that I got way back when we started this, and it wasn't even official fan mail. An online colleague of mine from the Fantasy Strike forums, Rowan, he told us that we need to cover something about Melty Blood and about Akitoshi Kawazu. So, sorry, Rowan, we didn't get to this for 8 million years, but let's do this now. Melty Blood. I like Melty Blood. I've only played the PC version of the original. I kind of wish an official release of the console versions came out here, because I'd probably play them.
I thought this is back in my fighting game early days, at least outside of Mortal Kombat / Street Fighter, but the games confused me back in the day, confused me. I didn't look up any moves. I was just basically messing around, playing around. So I can't speak too much to the actual fighting game mechanic or the actual game itself. However, it did get me interested in the Melty Blood world. Yes, I have watched the anime. I have read the mangas. And
did you see the original erotic Japanese novel? Because that's what it was all based on.
No, I did not. I did not know this, and I am not interested in said erotic hentai.
One thing, though, that sucks is that in that and in the game, main character Shiki Tono is a very loves life, open person. But in order to make him fit into author visions in the manga and in the anime,
he's Shinjified.
He was this depressed Shinji archetype.
Mm-hmm.
I never liked that. I think that it's way better for him to just be the smiling goofball who all the women love because he's just a smiling goofball. Kind of like Cal from Undergrads. Do you remember Undergrads?
Yes.
Yes. He's kind of like Cal from Undergrads, except probably 8 times more tolerable, because if I was anywhere near Cal, I would have murdered him and then slept with him. You never know with that guy.
I like the whole... In fact, we have had discussions in the past of a Shiki versus anybody sort of variety. So like the whole Spider-Man or Superman versus Goku line of conversations of could he kill, Darkseid or Galactus.
Here's
or
the thing about
whatever.
I think if Shiki Tono was in the DC universe, that the lines he sees are Darkseid's Omega power that Darkseid draws from. So I think he would look at Darkseid and he would see no lines on him. But he would see the lines where the Omega beams could trace and he'd be able to dodge them and maybe cut them with his knife.
It's one of those versus things that you really have to come down to a whole bunch of what ifs. If you, as you say, make it Omega power, then Darkseid probably isn't going to be affected. But if you make it that it's literally just the lines of death and he can see it. The bottom line with anybody who Shiki fights is if they know about his power, Shiki loses. But if they are cocky and therefore don't know his power, Shiki has a chance against anybody.
This is true. But
it's the whole what if saga of versus.
But even if Shiki Tono managed to cut off Darkseid's arm, the problem is Darkseid would slap him in the head and explode his head.
But he wouldn't go... In this case, again, what ifs. He wouldn't... If he's looking to kill him, he's not going to go for the arm. He's going to go for that magical point that just wipes out their existence.
Can we at least say that Darkseid wins most of the time, but Cheeky's got a chance?
Absolutely!
Because that's what I think ultimately.
I think that's how it works with almost any of them. I mean, Wolverine versus Cheeky. Wolverine's not going to let some dude with a knife come near him. He's just going to kill him.
Wolverine is pretty arrogant, though. He might just let this kid cut him to see what happens, and then wonder why his healing factor doesn't heal it. But what if he takes that weird drug he took during Civil War, and he does heal it back? He healed back from a fucking skeleton. Wolverine's heal power is the other fucking broken thing in comics. I don't know how it interacts with Cheeky. Why are we having this conversation?
Because we're talking Melty Blood. The anime, I thought, sucked. I mean, the characters were watered down even more from the manga, so you just didn't give a fuck.
I think it's kind of kinky.
And I thought his sister was really fucking creepy.
I think it's kind of kinky that Cheeky Tono's stepsister secretly has wet dreams about him. I think that's kinky in a comedic fashion.
I'm going to say go with my whole creepy thing.
I don't think it's kinky in a I masturbate to it fashion. I think it's kinky in a, it's really funny that this chick is so, like, is so moist for this man she knows she'll never have and really shouldn't be having these feelings about. And this kind of impacts her super serious personality. I think that's, for lack of being called adorable things by certain people listening to it, I think that's kind of cute in a comedic way. From a narrative standpoint, it would be creepy in reality, though. Not really. Siblings. They're not related.
Bottom line here is I'm going to go with you've got some problems anime style.
No, I'll problem you in the face with my penis foot. And now
I'll need that microscope.
Akitoshi Kawazu. So this is a guy who I actually didn't know about it when Rowan told me about him, and then I'm like, oh yeah, when he told me about the games he made. He's responsible for a lot of Square Enix's Black Sheep-style games. Like the Saga series, this dude. So everything from the original Romancing Saga to Final Fantasy Legend, which were called Saga in Japan, to the one Saga game on PS2 that was a board game. This is the guy who envisioned all of that. And I think we can safely say this guy is nothing but creative.
Well, I mean, I will give him the Sega games. Okay, whatever. Never got into them. However, I played Sega Frontier. I played a bunch of the Crystal Chronicle games.
Yo, yeah, he's responsible for all of Crystal Chronicles.
I think I can legitimately say that Crystal Chronicles has been some of the more creative Square Enix games in the past 5 to 10 years. I mean, the one that he made for DS, that was you could play two players, was great. I played through that with my roommate, and it was fun. We really enjoyed the storyline. We really enjoyed the actual combat and gameplay. So I will give him full credit for the Crystal Chronicles stuff.
Looking at the games he's gone over, just off his Wikipedia page, apologies if Wikipedia is a bad source for this, because Wikipedia is not always reliable. He's done a lot of audacious games. Like, he was involved in the design of the first two Final Fantasies. So that's a new thing he pioneered. He was involved in the first two Final Fantasy Legends, in the whole Saga series, in Legend of Mana, in Crystal Chronicles, in The Last Remnant. This guy seems to be the guy who they put in charge of things where they're experimenting.
Yeah, and truthfully, he's good at it. It may not always succeed.
He's not
always
good at it.
Well, I mean, the original...
The board game, that should have been a bad idea to anybody right off.
But video board games tend to do better in Japan than they do out here.
Yeah, but the thing is, it wasn't like a play board game versus friends type thing. I think it was Unlimited Saga that was the board game. It was you have to play the board game to navigate the map. Like, your map navigation was subject to... like, the whim of the dice, like...
I don't know. I mean, the original two Crystal Chronicle games for the GameCube, I think, weren't that great. It was more of a cash grab to have multiple people have their own DSs.
It was the Game Boy Advance, as you
mean. Okay,
so I guess you could use a DS, maybe?
No, yeah, you probably couldn't.
The link cable, there was a link cable port in the original DSs that you do that with.
I don't know if it was compatible, though.
Probably compatible.
But, I mean, the bottom line is that was pretty audacious. That was, yeah, have your friends over, but make sure they bring their Game Boy Advances. Really? To play this game properly, you need how many?
Yep.
I mean, it's basically what's happening with the Wii U right now. People are like, wait, we have to use that?
if anyone's going to make a Wii U RPG that, worthwhile or not, is at least ballsy, it's going to be this guy.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
So, that's him. His name. That's Akitoshi Kawazu.
Speaking of the Wii U for a moment.
Uh-huh.
I am not liking what I'm seeing right now. For example, launch titles. The Batman Arkham City is a launch title on there. Armored Edition. Nintendo, if you want to be taken seriously by hardcore gamers, and I say hardcore, putting two fingers in both hands.
Kinky.
You're weird today.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not. If you want to be taken seriously by gamers, Nintendo, censoring games that came out on the Xbox and the PS3 is not the way to get us to buy.
Censoring.
Okay, so Exhibit A is, again, Arkham City. You have you seen pictures of Catwoman?
Yes.
She is quite...
provocative?
Provocative in her outfit. However, I would say that I've seen worse in Nintendo games.
Probably.
And the fact that in the Armored Edition, they have basically cut her breast size by half and totally covered her up in custom armor.
Yeah, but who made that call? Was it Rocksteady or Nintendo?
Nintendo.
Do we know this?
Forum posts have confirmed that Nintendo made the call so that it fits the armored subtitle.
Okay, but hang on. There's something that isn't right here. Nintendo hasn't shied away from having risque characters. Samus Aran, for instance, in super skin type clothing.
But she's covered up.
Yeah, she's covered up in a second skin.
I know.
Or what about Peach and Daisy in their Mario soccer artwork? Like, Nintendo hasn't shied away from this. Are you sure they went out to Rocksteady and says, bring down the breasts? Because that sounds off to me. I don't want to defend Nintendo, don't get me wrong, but this doesn't sound right.
Well, in this case, if it was just them covering her up in the armor, as they say, you wouldn't expect to see the cover-up that you do. Okay, Arkham City screens. And I'm just going to pause this. Okay, so just tried to find the forum post that actually had that confirmed that it was Nintendo. Can't find the post right now, so we'll put that down as rumor right now that it was Nintendo who pushed that rather than Rocksteady.
I still don't think Nintendo would do this. It sounds really off for them. Like, really off. Nintendo is a lot of things, but modern Nintendo is not about going against a minor amount of cleavage showing. And they've never been for their own characters, even.
So we will agree to disagree on that. I could totally see Nintendo trying to keep a launch title from being too risque.
I don't even see why they would. When have they ever done this since Mortal Kombat 1 on the SNES? The only thing I can think of is Binding of Isaac with its religious themes being a little too much for them. And that had nothing to do with boobs.
Let's see here. What has Nintendo censored in the past? Okay, go away, Kotaku.
Kotaku's garbage, just throwing that out on the podcast.
Okay, anything more recent?
Yeah, this is exactly why I'm telling you this. Although, hey, maybe if any listeners on our podcast want to send us this corrective information, maybe we'll throw that out there.
Fair enough.
All right, we good for this?
I think we're good.
All right.
Dun, dun, dun.
Speaking of which, when Richie was here, he brought his Wii, and we got to try Project M, which is a mod of Super Smash Bros. Brawl.
Okay.
It does things like it takes the tripping out, which, of course, immediately makes the game 100 times better. It also makes it quite a bit faster. It plays a lot more like Melee. They add in some things that I thought should have been removed and were in Brawl, like L-canceling and wave dashing and whatnot, but the end result is still a much faster, more frantic, much more enjoyable game. And it was quite a bit of fun. And I'm like, wow, fans can do this. Nintendo refuses. Because somehow this game wouldn't be fun at the casual level too? What?
Have a casual excuse.
Yeah, I know. It's so stupid. As if a really good fighting game on the competitive level isn't also really good at the casual.
Some context for this next snippet. We're talking about the Ouya. Google it. Google it.
Because it's on Android, it'll be hacked day one, and no one will make any money.
Oh, and I forgot what I was going to say here. Well, here's the thing. Anything could be hacked day one, right? But we'll see. We'll see what happens. If it's legit and not a giant scam that they now have $4 million to make.
I would say the PlayStation 3 has been very successful in that regard.
In what regard?
In the anti-piracy department.
Yes.
Whereas Microsoft hasn't been as good at, and Wii has failed at, horribly. The PSP failed at that one horribly. So has the Vita.
Is it truly a failure when players got to use their systems the way they wanted to? I don't think it's so cut and dry as to call it a failure. I think it, again, should make developers realize that people want to run their own homebrew shit on these things. And maybe they should let players do this.
I'm talking from a financial standpoint.
Ah, okay, yes.
Yeah, don't take it failures as that, but the Wii was very easily homebrewed. And for some of the homebrew stuff that was allowed, I say fuck yes. Because I've always thought that Nintendo was nickel and diming people for their old games. It should have been pay $25 and you get access to the entire NES library. $6 per.
You have suggested the monthly access thing, and I totally agree with you. That would be... They would still be printing money, and I would be having a blast. And I'd pay that.
Exactly. On the PSP, let's face it, the PSP didn't have... It was a re-release console. That's really all it had was re-releases. The occasional new game, but ultimately as a gaming system, the PSP was a pretty big flop. And I supported that thing. I mean, we got Star Ocean 1 and 2 for it. We got Valkyrie Profile. We got a whole bunch of early PS1 RPGs. Sometimes they had extra things added. Sometimes Square Enix fucked it up. Final Fantasy Tactics. But the PSP was heavily pirated. Mainly, I think, out of spite near the end because Sony was trying so hard to stop it. But there really wasn't any value there for the gamers. The DS, unfortunately, it was hacked with the security cards very early. I think the DS had a lot more game-worthy of being purchased games than the PSP ever did.
It definitely did. There are a lot of really good DS games.
Not so much with the 3DS.
Yeah.
The 3DS still hasn't even started to sprout, let alone bloom. And the Vita? Holy fuck, the Vita is... It's like they put a shotgun to their foot, and they're still easy on the trigger. Because there haven't been any real games for it. The half of their library right now are old PS1 and PS2 games. Whoop-de-fucking-doo.
Let's get
some actual first-party, even some good third-party titles in there, and let's get it fucking moving.
I think the issue with the 3DS and the PS Vita, or Vita, as you like to call it, which tickles me... I think the problem is that these are such cool pieces of tech, and it's all squandered on... I had a point here, and then I realized I was about to contradict my own point. Fuck those systems!
please, make your point!
My point was going to be that they should use the capabilities of these systems to provide interesting games. And then I just remembered, but then, of course, Nintendo will make forced stylus, forced 3D bullshit... And then my point would be, well, maybe if they just had good games, then I would be contradicting the whole use the strengths of the system thing. So fuck them.
Fair enough.
Yes. I think the 3DS is a cool piece of tech, especially since I finally saw the thing in action. Richie, once again, brought his when he was our house guest here a little while back. And I actually got to see the thing in action. And it's actually pretty cool. I do like how the 3D effect works. I like how you can adjust it. Good on Nintendo for letting you choose not to play something in 3D. There's a lot of power there, and the right games need to make use of it. And unfortunately for me, none of those games have enticed me enough to buy the damn thing. And the same thing with the Vita.
Yeah, there's been a couple that have been like, ooh, that looks cool. When's it coming to the PS3? Oh, fuck Vita. Okay, whatever.
Well, see, here's the thing. Okay, these portable systems inherently have less power than their proper TV console counterparts, right? So, okay, generally, they're a good medium for games that don't require as much resources, or games that perhaps were once popular on television, but now have a home on, now are more popular on portable environments, but still give you the option to play that on your TV. Like, I wish you could just buy the games electronically, and if you were so inclined, you could log into your Nintendo account from a Wii U and just play your 3DS title on your television.
I mean, well, ultimately, that was what brought me back to the PSP for a little bit, when they released the third version that actually had the TV out. But then they squandered what they had there by only having it take up a small portion of the screen, didn't give any sort of capabilities to make it bigger. I mean, you and me have agreed for years that Sony, when you buy it on your PSP, you should be able to link up to your bloody PS3 and play it through the PS3. Full screen. Why the hell not?
I agree. And funny enough, Nintendo, of all companies, let you do that with its Super Game Boy and the awesome Game Boy Player for the GameCube.
Yeah, I had it.
So did I. In fact, I unburied my old GameCube with Game Boy Player still attached, and it's currently set up, and I have no doubt that I will probably be playing it here and there.
Going back and playing Skies of Arcadia?
If I was going to play Skies of Arcadia again, I would play the infinitely superior Dreamcast version. And I have a Dreamcast, so I can do that.
Right, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. However, didn't I hear it was supposed to have a remake somewhere here coming soon?
Well, that's the only thing that Sega's good for these days. So, last I heard, they were thinking about it. They hadn't actually come around and said, we're doing it, but it was more of a wink, wink, nod, nod, I can't say.
Hell, man, if they want to pump out remakes of old, good games, I'm okay with this.
So am I. That Okami release coming out for the PS3, I want it. Completely.
There's a new Dreamcast game released recently.
Number of people on the planet that cared?
You might. If you saw it in action, you might want to play it.
What's that?
Let me find the title. Give me a moment. Looking it up. Screw it.
Supposed to kill these things before the podcast.
It just came up. I wasn't going to mention it in the podcast. Give me a moment. This turned into one of those ad-lib podcasts, so...
Of course.
Give me a fucking second. Oh, Jesus Christ, Screw Attack. Where are your reviews? And I think this is an American-developed game or European, because Genzo Man does some art for it.
Okay.
Oh,
is it a fighter?
Come the fuck on, you shitty MacBook piece of garbage. Gunlord. It's an all-you Dreamcast game. 2D, Metroidvania-esque, shooter galore.
Ah, why the hell would they release on the Dreamcast?
I don't know, but I have a Dreamcast that, to the best of my knowledge, still works. I just gotta find an S-video cable for it.
That shouldn't be too hard.
It's harder than you might think. Right now, I'm still running it off of Composite.
Oh, well, okay, wait. Composite, not component?
It doesn't have a component cable. It had Composite and S-video. It also had VGA out.
You're shitting
me. But you have to purchase a separate thing to use the VGA. Oh, I am not shitting you, Dave. If there were Dreamcast component cables, come to think of it, I haven't looked for a while. Dreamcast component cables.
Yeah, they exist.
Well, shit. I don't fucking know this.
Maybe if you had looked.
Well, shit. I gotta get me a Dreamcast component cable. Play some fucking Gunlord. Oh,
yeah,
God, Dreamcast controllers.
Between S-Video or Component, I'd rather have Component.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Jesus. No
S-Video is like the retarded cousin that no one ever wanted to use but was always supported.
Do you know what S-Video was? S-Video was Piccolo. Composite? Composite was the humans. S-Video was Piccolo. Component and HDMI are the Saiyans.
Bringing Dragon Ball into this.
Good comparison. Piccolo was always way better than normal humans, but still below the Saiyans.
Of course. I will accept that comment.
So I need some Piccolo cables for my Dreamcast. My Piccolo cables or Vegeta cables.
Oh. That's awesome. So would HDMI be Saiyan 1, or Super Saiyan 1, and then the next one media display be Super Saiyan 2?
Sure. If that helps you.
Hey, just saying.
Just saying. Just saying.
If we're going to bring it out, might as well take it to the max.
Indeed, I will pounce on Skies of Arcadia, especially if it has Dreamcast music, but the GameCube extras, and that will make me moist, Dave.
Make
me creamy moist.
I think at best we're going to get the Dreamcast version.
I'm okay with it being just the Dreamcast version anyway.
I mean, I played the GameCube version for a little bit, didn't like it too much. Didn't really give it too much of a chance, though, so I'd be more than willing to drop $20 and find out that I still didn't like it.
Well, you could always play my version. Or if it comes out on, like, Xbox Live Arcade, you can try the demo.
That's what I mean.
Yeah. Game.
So I guess as far as gaming and gaming technology, seeing as we have sort of stuck to the logistics behind things, prices, and tech. Did you know that Carmack has gotten funding for a head-mounted display?
John Carmack?
John Carmack, yep.
Why doesn't that guy go back and actually make Doom 3?
He's making Doom 4.
No. He has to make Doom 3 first.
He did. It sucked. And they're releasing Doom 3 now as Doom 3 BFG.
So, instead of making a good game, he's releasing a VR headset.
Pretty much.
Do you remember VR Troopers?
Yes. I remember a number of different virtual reality tech to go with games. I mean, back in the late 90s, here at one of our local fairs, Klondike Days, which it now is back to Klondike Days from being destroyed, they actually had one of the state-of-the-art total immersive virtual reality games going on there. The game itself was rather basic, where you're just walking around stuff, but it had the stairs functionality and the platform you were on, the glasses gave you the whole 3D aspect that you were in the world. I never got a chance to try it, but my dad did, because it was like $30 to try it, even back then. And he came out and he was totally disappointed. It was garbage. Complete and utter garbage. Not even as good as our 3D glasses are today, and that's still pretty shitty from a technological standpoint. Anything to comment on there? Or?
All I know is that neither you or Kiki are allowed to use it.
I'm a beta tester.
No, if you go into the VR world...
And I'm getting two sets just to make sure that when me and Kiki get sucked into the world and can't get out, you're going to have to come in and get us. If I don't bring Kiki, you're going to say, fuck Dave, he can stay.
I don't want to be the dot hack hero. That's a time commitment I don't want to give.
Tough.
I don't want to be the hero. I'm going to have to go on a journey, meet characters I don't like, fight bosses I don't care about.
So you're going to have to...
Making big speeches.
You're going to have to do exercise, be sociable.
No.
Come on.
And I'm going to have to listen to people's problems, and the bad guys are going to make big soliloquies, and I'm going to be like, shut up! I don't care that you're the will of the planet or whatever the fuck you're talking about. I just want to rescue my stupid friends so I can get back to my stupid pizza.
Yeah, that sounds about right for you. Help me help you.
So, games on Two Fat Guys Talk Games. I'm not sure what game you and I could play together, though.
They're called MMOs these days.
Let's play Double Dragon 2, the over Skype version.
Fuck.
Okay, so Marianne has just been shot by the Shadow Lord guys. Okay, so...
The sad thing for our audience is back in the 80s, and even early 90s, Carlos could have actually done this from memory. He could have told us where each enemy was, what their abilities were, and everything else.
Okay, so...
Your mind's going, old man.
So, I'm Billy.
Let's talk Double Dragon.
Jimmy.
Let's talk the remake of Double Dragon.
We both come out of the garage, and we have three clones of Williams running at us. What do you do?
Jump on the horse and make it back kick anything that moves. That's right, choke. Double Dragon remake. What up?
I want to play the demo.
I don't. I think that they tried to pretty it up and change it, and it doesn't look at all like the game I remember.
So I want to point something out here.
Uh-oh.
Maybe you'll disagree. The arcade Double Dragon games, like the arcade versions,
yep,
were terrible. They were slow, chuggish, unresponsive pieces of crap.
Never played them.
They were
horrible. I never played the NES versions.
The NES games, despite needing two buttons to jump, were infinitely superior. They were more colorful, they were smoother, it was easier to get attacks out that you wanted to come out, it was easier to form a plan and strategize, it was easier to play two players in two and three, they had extra levels, they had more creative levels instead of just mindless scroll right and kill guys, which is all the arcade games were. They were infinitely better games than the shitty arcade games.
Okay, I can agree with that, even though I never played the shitty arcade games.
There's a point I was getting at with this.
And you forgot.
Completely.
I was talking about how I wasn't being too impressed with the HD remake. Now, I thought that was of Double Dragon, the NES game. Is that of the arcade versions?
I'm not sure. There have been remakes of the NES games. Like, the TurboGrafx, I think it was, actually got a version of Double Dragon 2 that was a remake of not the arcade version, but the NES version of Double Dragon 2. So it had a bunch of, like, the conveyor belt platforming and other stuff that frustrated us as children.
Oh, God.
No, the
conveyor belt platforming. I'd forgotten that, but now that I remember, oh, fuck.
And, see, here's the problem. If Double Dragon was a platformer, maybe, but Billy and Jimmy aren't fucking Mario. They're not agile enough to consistently pull off conveyor belt platforming. Especially when they have to fight enemies that take much more than a stomp on the head to kill.
No Mario wussing out here.
You know, I always kind of wanted a Mario side-scrolling beat-em-up. I also wanted a Chip 'n Dale Rescue Rangers side-scrolling beat-em-up.
I don't know. I think we end up with too much of it like The Simpsons.
I think if Konami made it, and they did it in the style of The Simpsons or of the arcade Bucky O'Hare game, which Konami made, very colorful and vibrant... I think it was Konami. I don't remember. It was a Japanese company. Anywho, if it was done in that style, you already have Chip, Dale, Monterey Jack, and Gadget. So you have four characters, each with their unique styles of play. You have a wide variety of the villains from Rescue Rangers that can serve as fodder. And the whole universe of that show is just very colorful overall. I think it'd be a fun game.
You could always do a Disney Afternoon smash-em-up mix. Bring in Darkwing Duck and... all those other ones.
But the only problem is that in order to compete with the Rescue Rangers, they'd have to shrink down or something.
Okay. Come on, it's Disney.
Yeah, that's true.
A shrink ray is outside of the realm of possibility? Really?
It's Disney. They have shrink rays and palaces shaped like phalluses.
There we go. But I don't think we really need to go into the whole Can versus Keith argument, because quite frankly, after reading through a lot of the stuff on there, the argument's just stupid.
Do you want to quickly touch on it now? Or do you want to save that for another time?
Sure, but I'll have to bring back up the...
We'll save it for another time. It's fine.
It just... Their arguments back and forth are just... Especially when other people got into the topic, it just seems stupid. It's... What is a game? And they both disagree.
A miserable little pile of secrets!
Ah, Dracula, you're so stupid.
This has been Dracula.
And this has been Alucard.
And this is two vampires talk games.
Talk games.